The radio can tame me. Only a mere one can play me. Heat it. We're all in our Beyonce world. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We just made it through Renaissance weekend.
Woo. How did you survive? We had the East Coast and the West Coast Renaissance. Was your movie theater as crazy as mine's?
No,
Wasn't really, but how was yours?
You know what? Because you went during opening night. And so what I also think too is the evening hours is when the Bayhive comes out. And I went Sunday at 12. So I was with the seasoned LGBTQ plus community.
I went the night it came out. So it came out Friday. I went 10:30 Thursday.
Oh,
so
God.
I thought it was going to be a lot more packed. But it was nice crowd. Wasn't too crazy like I saw on Instagram, but it was still beautiful. Cried. It was late, but I cried because I didn't
leave
that
was,
movie.
Yeah, there were just like certain, like the part with Blue and it was just a little touching at times, especially because those of us, like, you know, we all been alive since her inception. So just seeing her growth, it's just beautiful to see. So yeah, we could talk about that more, but Renaissance. The Renaissance.
Team Beyonce all day, every day. We're going to wear silver for the rest of the year.
Pretty much. But all right, let's just get into our weekly grab.
Okay. All right, you can go first, best friend. What's on your list?
So I am just going to get into shows that I'm just watching. So I've mentioned them before, but you know, the seasons are continuing. So first on my list is The Gilded Age. We are in season 2 of The Gilded Age. It's the based on exactly what it says. The Gilded Age is the late 1800s around the Industrial Revolution. So in this, well, not, so the most recent episode just came out because it comes out on Sundays, but it had just started up from where, not Aunt Agnes. First of all, Aunt Agnes is so camp. That's really who I wanted to shout out. But, but Ada, Agnes's sister, Ada's played by Cynthia Nixon, who was on Sex and the City.
We love her.
Yeah, so she got married. Ada got married to a priest, but you know, she's older, she's an older age, so this is her first time getting married. Aunt Agnes is like, I don't know, I don't think she's a widow, but she's like, she's, you know, first of all, it's played by Christine Baranski, so she is who she's always been, right? Like just super kind of posh, snide, stuck up, prude, wealthy,
yeah,
white.
She knows her role.
Yes, but she's just so camp. So she was like against Ada getting married, but everybody was still going against her wishes and going to go support this wedding. So Agnes comes in with this grand entrance. It is like super, super camp. And, you know, she still supported her sister. So now Ada's married. She moved out the house and she got her little husband. Then we're also seeing Marion, played by Louisa Jacobson. She is really branching out and becoming a career woman, which, you know, she doesn't have to, right? Because she's wealthy. She comes from money. And that's just not typical at that time. Like, women don't work. You are just a wife. And if you do work, you do like kind of housework, but Marion's stepping out and now she's really gotten into teaching and she's being requested to teach and she enjoys it. And it's kind of now impeding on a guy who is trying to court her, but you're seeing her put her career first, which is so unbeknownst of a woman at the time. So very interesting to watch that. Then we have the, you know, the Black story. So we have Peggy and Mr. Fortune. They go down to Alabama to visit Booker T. Washington's college. So now we've all learned about this stuff in school, but like seeing it kind of play out was pretty cool because you got to remember. So Peggy is from New York, right? Like she never experienced slavery, only heard about it. And going down to the South is just like things that she's heard through word of mouth. Like, don't look at white people. You know, don't give them eye contact. Don't, you know, speak back or whatever. And then Mr. Fortune, who she works with at the newspaper, he used to be a slave. So wow. He's already triggered going back down there. And you're seeing them have different responses to Booker T. Washington. If you don't remember the history of Booker T. Washington, you know, he opened one of the first Black colleges, and he was teaching Black scholars how to basically, he faced criticism because some people say, like, why are you teaching these Black kids how to kind of do slave work? So there, he's teaching the men like farming and agricultural work, you know, how to kind of really have a business or just, you know, work in that field. And then the women, they're learning kind of more like domesticated or sewing and things of that nature, not what you go to college for these days.
Right.
Even with having Peggy there, the she was talking with some of the female students, and they were so intrigued by her career as a journalist. And they was like, you should come back and teach us writing. And she like looked so interested, like she would love to, you know. So Peggy is actually really supportive of what Booker T. Washington is doing at the school, because she thinks like something is better than nothing, you know. Like,
I was just about to say that it was too early, but y'all learning something. Exactly. That's better than nothing.
Like, exactly. It's better than just being a sharecropper. Like, that was all that was available for Black people at that time. So, you know, they're still at least getting degrees, getting educated, making something of themselves. But Mr. Fortune, who again, like, he used to be a slave, he wants better for them. So you're seeing that. But then at the same time, it's their last night in Alabama. They're eating at a restaurant. And then here come these drunk two white men, just come in, just starting trouble. You can tell this is their usual activity, because the owner of the restaurant is this woman, probably even used to work for them as a slave, because you can kind of gather from some of the context clues of the conversation. It's like, yeah, you know what I like and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So she, you know, be giving them free food so they could just leave her alone. But they came and like choked her up. So Mr. Fortune's like, let her go. And, you know, they're like, what? Like, who are you talking to? And so, you know, Mr. Fortune ends up like knocking them out, knocking one dude out. And then him and Peggy make a run for it. And so they're hiding out in this barn that they were like inside of. And, you know, the lynch mob comes looking for them to lynch them. But they, you know, they end up skipping past them. So they make it. But then you see Peggy and Mr. Fortune kiss. And Mr. Mm-hmm. Fortune is married. So scandal,
you know? Scandalous.
But overall,
that in the show, yeah. Scandalous.
Scandal. So, but just overall, like I said, I just really love the show. I really love the fashion. I love the storyline. It's really just taking you. It really puts you in that time. Like, you were in 1883. You're also seeing the start of the unions. Like, now they are striking. The railroad workers. And the owners of the railroad, like, you know, they're like trying to fight back, but we already know what happens, because it's the formation of unions and to protect the workers' rights. So I just love the show. It's really picking up in a late 1880s kind of way, but I'm here for it. So the Gilded Age.
I'm here for the education. I have to get, yes. I like so much shows I need to watch, but I just love that. I like anything where you get to learn about something that you were not alive for. So, right.
And you know, I'm a history nerd, so yes. I'm just into stuff like that.
The Gilded Age on HBO Max.
Yes. What's on your weekly grab?
So the first thing on my weekly grab was probably the most excited I've been to watch a movie in a long time. I finally found a Christmas movie that I will watch every year. Oh. And it's Candy Cane Lane with Eddie Murphy. Tracy Ellis Ross. It was beautiful. I'm not too much of like a holiday, Christmas, Halloween girl, but this movie gave me all the Christmas feels, to the point where after I saw it, I was like, I'm gonna have a Christmas party, because I was that excited, because it was so good. Basically, you have Eddie Murphy and Tracy Ellis Ross, who actually look very convincible as a couple. I hate when people like book gigs and you can't tell they'll be together, but I could see in another world like Eddie Murphy and Tracy Ellis Ross being husband and wife. So you have this guy, his wife, three kids. He's obsessed with Christmas, and there's a big light contest on the block, and basically he needs to win because he's going through a lot in his family. And he comes across a tricky elf, and he basically signs away his life rights if he doesn't solve a riddle before 8 p.m. on Christmas Eve. He's so obsessed with Christmas that his name in the film is Chris. His wife is Carol. His son is Nick. His daughter's Joy. And his other daughter's Holly. So okay. That's how Christmas this family is. But it's just so interesting. It's a new take on Christmas. It gives you the spirit. And of course, there's like heartwarming moments. But yeah. I caught myself like teary-eyed at the end because it's funny. I love that not only is Santa Claus Black, but it's David Alan Grier Black. Like,
I love it.
It's the quintessential. I hope they do a number two or a sequel. It was really good to the point where I'm like, I think I want to watch that again today. And I'm not like that with things. If you need something that's lighthearted, funny, Eddie Murphy being himself, he said this was his first Christmas movie. I can't believe it. I think he needs to do more Christmas movies because he was
It's Eddie
perfect.
Murphy. He's like perfect. He really has tapped into the family film genre. So
he's so good in it. And I'm just like, I love this movie. I'm probably gonna watch it at least 2 to 3 more times before Christmas. But if you guys want if you want a new take on like a Christmas story, something different but funny and also that's not gonna lose you in too long, Candy Cane Lane. It's on Amazon Prime Video. It was a 20 out of 10. So
yeah, well,
I think you would love it. You and Mark would love it.
Mine is Jingle Jangle on Netflix. It came out. Yeah, that one I watch every year at least once, but sometimes more than once. I've already watched it so far this Christmas season. I'll probably watch it again. And Christmas movies are there to make you feel good. And I really like these, you know, when the Christmas season comes, there's always new ones that come out and they come out on all different kinds of channels. But, you know, the ones if you find the one that resonates with you, you know, stick with it. But yeah.
Yes, and there's so many. Hallmark Channel, HBO, every
Lifetime. I'm going to check out Candy Cane Lane. I know it's on Amazon, so I'm going to check it out too. Because I love, you know, Christmas is my season, so I'm definitely going to check it out.
I was like, Mark and Jocelyn would love this movie because it's just cute, it's funny, it's hip, but it still gives you that Christmas spirit. So I'm definitely going to watch it a couple more times. What is next on your list?
What's next on my list is Rap Shit. Also on HBO.
I gotta catch up. I'm failing, bestie. I gotta catch up.
You are so behind, and it's disappointing because you are missed. I love scripted television. I love a good story. I love good writing. I love Issa Rae. It's like you gotta stay consistent with your love for Issa Rae.
So much TV.
And you already know if we don't watch it, they gonna cancel it.
They always come in for our people. So, you're right, I'm a binge it this weekend.
I know. Leo. I got a ring cam. And I see Leo all up on the couch. He's whatever. He's living his best life.
Listen, Nino got out his thing today and he was a wild cat. I said, oh, you really thought you owned my apartment?
Living his best life. It's like, you know, listen. Okay, so on Rap Shit, this last episode that came out on Thursday, Nino.
Speaking of Nino, he's going crazy. Continue. Be quiet.
Nino said, you rang?
He said, I heard my name.
I heard you call me. So this latest episode, it touched a lot on, it touched on everything, but the end was crazy. It was such a plot twist. Mm-hmm. Cause you just see like somebody's, the buildup of their mental health crisis. And it's a rapper, and it's like Shauna was kind of having like a little connection with him, and then it just ends tragically. There's that aspect of it, but it also follows Mia and her thought life. Mia is totally in her hoe phase and living it kind of even reminded me of like the recent criticism Megan Thee Stallion was getting for how she was, I guess, her early start of coming into the industry. Because it's like, if you are a sexual deviant person, and now you're kind of meeting all these different kinds of people, whether it's girls or guys, and the attention is coming your way, it's like, you know, why not? The only thing is that, you know, Mia's still kind of tied in with her baby daddy. So you're going to kind of see that get navigated throughout the season, but we are definitely seeing Mia enjoy her thought life because she has had sex with two different guys in the last two episodes. Then we
you
have,
know what, sis, live your truth. As long as you're healthy and happy, live your truth. Okay.
Right. Exactly. Then we have Chastity, who I just scream out justice for Chastity, because you're seeing her be undermined as a manager of the group. But at the same time, like, you know, this is something new for her navigating the entertainment industry. So you see her trying, but just in her way of how she's going about it, you see how she could be working against herself and messing up connections. But still, like, she's a rider. She's loyal, and justice for Chastity. Because you're also seeing Francois, who's played by Jabuki Young White, who used to be on The Daily Show. Yes, I love him too, but you're going to hate his character. Like, he's playing such, and it's like, because I work in the industry, I know his character's name is Francois. You know the Francois. The Francois are the people that are just super talentless. All they do is they finesse and connive people to just kind of work their way to the top. And then they kind of get to the top and they get respect by people, but it's like fake respect. And that their way of getting to the top was just off of riding off of people with real talent. And so you see Francois finessing his way into being Mia and Shauna's manager and dropping Chastity. He's like forcing them to drop Chastity. And wow, it's so corny. Like, it's just so corny to see. But overall, it's a good show. And we need people to support it. It's getting near to the season finale. And we need people to support because, you know, they will cancel this black show if we
And I hope they start doing more promo, but I love that you give some but not everything away. So I promise by our next episode, I will catch up because it's not that
many episodes. Only 30-minute episodes. And it is funny. It's inclusive. I got a little of everything. Like, it's good music. Like, you're going to start, like, getting into the songs that they're performing on the show. Because you just know,
promote Anthony.
Right, Issa's always been good at that. Broken pussy. You know, she's always been good at that.
So that's still a top 10 hit, Issa.
Exactly. So definitely check out Rap Shit.
Yes.
What's next?
We're going to switch gears from rapping to doctors. So I watched a 3-part docuseries on Netflix called Bad Surgeon, Love Under the Knife. And I think that's what's taken away from my scripted series, documentaries. I've just been on a heavy hit lately. This is the true story about Dr. Paolo Macchini, who is a world-renowned Italian surgeon who claimed that he can replace throats because he tested them on animals and started doing actual surgery on people without the proper testing on animals. And at least 6 to 7 people we know died. But as he started killing people, he started to date or kind of like get the patient's mom or kin into him to kind of make them forget that I just killed your son, or I just killed your brother or your sister. It's okay. I'm going to be sweet. I'm going to call you. I'm going to do all these things. But the main story is how he met this journalist from New York City. He love bombed her, which means he just gave her the gifts. He took her everywhere. He asked her to get married in like 7-8 months. And he said, move to Barcelona. But his lies just started coming to fruition. And she found out he had a whole wife and kid in Spain. And he lied about everything, and she was able to help get authorities on him because she wrote an article on Vanity Fair about him lying about his love life. And so authorities was like, oh, so he just lies about everything. But it's just a really good story about how he said he was the Pope's doctor. He was Barack Obama's doctor. He was Tom Cruise's doctor. Anybody, Bill Clinton was his patient. He just was so, I don't want to say he was good, but he knew the people he could get. And I think it's just a telltale sign when you see these things that these are not like women that are not prestigious, that are like not smart. They're just beautiful women and they are very sensitive and in gullible spaces. So I just think he's in jail because he killed people and he didn't have the right to practice when he was practicing. But to see how the lady acted and everything that she went through, and just how she bounced back and overcame all of that. It was interesting, but I've never seen, of course he was white, but I've just never seen that type of deceit, that type of medical malpractice happen where he was able to go to different countries and operate on so many people and their throats, killing people and being able to hide it. Like, oh, one lady said, thank God that you're the surgeon. He's like, God, there's no God. There's my two hands. And that's why he ain't shit.
That's why.
So Dr. Paulo, that's why your ass is in jail. Peace out. You ain't shit. It's a good docuseries.
They finding crazy, like real stories that.
Girl, I'm like, somebody really did this. Somebody really not only had one wife in America, one wife, to the point where the wife in Italy was like, he took me to New York saying he had all of these meetings. And he only spent the first day with her. Then he was doing operation on the Pope or Barack Obama. And no, see, all right, Nino. We talking about his doctor, not you. But yes, it's a really good but true story. And it's a 10 out of 10. Loved it. And I can't wait to Google him in 2 years to see if he's still in jail.
Right, I hope he is.
Yes, please. Because he's going to keep killing people. What's next on your weekly grab as I put this drug away?
Last on my weekly grab is our favorite show, Black Cake. This last episode where we see Hubby Eleanor in the birthing, well, it's not a birthing home. What is it? Like a home for unwed mothers. As she gives birth to her first child that she's already decided that she wants to give up for adoption. I just knew from the beginning of her going into this home that it was shady. And then you get to see her start to bond. Like, she's very detached throughout the whole pregnancy, you know, for the fact that, you know, she's young. It's a byproduct of a sexual assault, the pregnancy. So she's very detached throughout the pregnancy, but then, you know, they do make the mothers nurse their babies during the first couple of months or weeks of their life before they give them to a family that's adopting them. And during that nursing process, you know, Eleanor gets attached to her daughter, but it was too late. And once they noticed that she was getting attached, she was like trying to escape. And I knew when they call her trying to escape, I was like,
I felt that in my soul. Yep. I was like, girl, you should have made a lie.
Yes.
You take a poop or something.
No, she should have just left right there when they were like, go back to bed. I'd be like, no, I'm leaving. Thank you very much. Have a good day. And that would have been that. Like, but she went to sleep. I was like, girl, they took that baby. But I'm interested to see how Mabel feels about it, because that's her parents. That's who she grew up with, believing were her real parents. And to know that they actually laid eyes on the actual mother, and not only did they lay eyes on her, like the mother was saying, that's my baby, running after her child, and they ran out of the adoption home. I just want to know how she feels about, because now on top of this, they lied about her being adopted. Like, they really made her believe that she's white and only looks a little ethnic because she has Sicilian ancestry. So, yeah.
And that's going to affect her forever, because it's one thing to know that you're adopted and maybe your parents don't want a relationship, but to continue that, especially when she went through that online drama, I just thought that was selfish. Y'all were supposed to go in and say, well, you know, maybe this is the perfect time to tell you. You are not white. You're actually Black, because it was in her records. They had it in the records. So I just thought that was manipulative as hell. And I can't wait to see like the ending of it all. And I hope they kind of tell that story of like how she heals or goes through that thing with her parents.
Yep. So I'm still just loving the show because it's really good.
Oof. It's the best show.
So that was it for me. Did you have anything else on your weekly grab?
Last on my weekly grab, which will kind of go into the next segment, it's just the latest episode of House of Villains.
Great show.
This show is just getting so interesting. I just was so surprised. I've only seen this done once, one other time, where Jordan sacrificed himself to go against Johnny Bananas in the challenge. Fast forward to Bobby Lights thinking he could beat Shake and Johnny in some type of elimination. And that just had my ground on the floor. Like, why I would have put Omarosa in or Johnny. I don't know why Bobby.
Yeah, I was so surprised.
The winning thing. I was like, Bobby.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
I was extremely.
It made no sense.
Yeah, no, I was extremely surprised by that. I didn't see that coming, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. I feel like things have been working in Bobby's favor. So, you know, we don't know.
Yes, and I can tell from just like the cast stuff that him and Johnny like have made up. I've seen Johnny and Bananas, like, I mean, Johnny and Bobby hang out a lot of like a lot in terms of like press junkets and stuff. But I just was like, my mouth was on the floor that entire episode. And I want to talk more about somebody in particular, but I feel like you're about to do that right now.
Yes, as we get into our piss poor performance. Okay.
All right.
So I'll go first because it perfectly segues after your last weekly grab. And I have to say that everything I said about this person previously, I still stand on that because, you know, I met them in person and I was able to really just feel her energy and see, like, she does this for reality television. That's why she is a villain. I will say, even if she doesn't win this show, she is still the all-time biggest villain in reality television. And of course, I'm talking about the Omarosa. Her name is only one word for a reason. Because it's just like the word evil. You only need one word. She is vicious, heartless, cold, and callous. She is a master manipulator, and no one is off limits. She thrives in competition environments because she's competitive. She doesn't care, and she's always out to win. Now, I understood that in an apprentice-type environment because it's like you're competing for money, right? You're competing for a career opportunity. But with this just being House of Villains and it's just a bunch of former reality stars coming together to kind of just have fun, I thought everybody was going to go into this really just wanting to have fun. If this is how Omarosa likes to have fun, it's just evil. So we've already saw her willingly just come after Tanisha for no reason, literally after she promised to not throw any of the ladies into the final three or whatever. She threw in Tanisha and Corinne. So now Corinne already done went home. Tanisha has become her new target, but Tanisha don't play that. So it's like,
I love Tanisha so much.
I do. I've always loved Tanisha. Like, she follows me on Instagram without even really knowing me. Like, she's just a sweetheart. So she, you know, Tanisha does her little joke, a prank where she has the choir come in and she's singing, I ain't getting no sleep because of y'all. Y'all ain't getting no sleep because of me. And so Omarosa takes it upon herself to join the choir and start banging pans and stuff. But you could tell she's doing it to get under Tanisha's skin because there's tension between them. And now what I will say in Tanisha's defense, kind of in Omarosa's defense, Tanisha does kind of swap her frying pan towards Omarosa, but it looked right. like all she, her, I mean, her tambourine. It looked like all she was doing was trying to just tap the frying pan that Omarosa was holding. Like, she was just
trying to hit her. She was not,
trying to hit her, because if she was trying to hit her, she would have hit her. And then on top of that, she didn't even touch her at all. They played it over and over in slow motion just so we could all see with our own eyes. Tanisha did not touch Omarosa at all. But Omarosa has made it up in her mind that Tanisha hit her with a tambourine and she is taking it to the end. She called her lawyer. She called the producers in the room.
She really called the lawyer and was on the phone for like 45 minutes. Yes.
She said she called an impromptu meeting to put an impromptu restraining order on Tanisha, saying that she needs to stay 5 feet from her, only for her to break the restraining order an hour later and go sit next to Tanisha. It makes absolutely no sense. Then the next day she goes to get an x-ray on her wrist because she said, I was violently attacked with a tambourine. Everybody is just like, this is ridiculous. Like, she's really going all the way to the end with this. And it's the fact that she's doing this to another Black woman.
Mm. That's what I really ain't want to say, but that's how I felt. Like
they why to doing this to another Black woman that did nothing to you? It's just like you're playing the game, so you're picking who your targets are. And at the end of the day, let's be real. So far, all of Omarosa's targets have been women.
And almost every show she's on, it's always women. Yes. Always. She always wants to work with her.
It was like her versus Kenya Moore. I remember being on Kenya Moore's side. That I remember. Because I never watched her season of Apprentice. I just remember her being on Celebrity Apprentice. So by then she was already kind of like famous. So then she was on the same season with Kenya, right? I'm not mistaken, right? I believe it was Kenya.
I just looked it up. Her and Kenya had beef.
Yes.
And so I remember calling her out and arguing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I watched that season and I was on Kenya's side. I wholeheartedly remember that. I started warming up to Omarosa when she read Bethany Frankel's ass to Phil, because I agreed with what she was saying to her. And so pretty much when I interviewed Omarosa, that's what we connected on, because yeah, she wasn't wrong for what she was saying. But at the end of the day, I don't like her seeing going after another Black woman for no reason. Like, it's just, it makes no sense. So she definitely gets my piss poor for this being delusion, contusion, illusion, evil queen.
And in the words of Johnny Bananas, this is what we would call a reality TV show flop. Because you want all the sympathy. You want everybody to feel like, oh, Omarosa is hurt. And I love how the shady ass producers was like, there's no footage. We don't have it. So we can't show.
Yes, it doesn't exist. It didn't happen. It did not happen.
They were so shady, but come on, sis. You never for us. So we pissing on you this week.
Yeah, she gets pissed. Pissed one.
Sorry on that one. Ugh.
Who's on yours?
My piss pull. You are going to love it, and you've kind of mentioned it last week. But today while I was at work, I was like, let me just watch Potomac to see what's on. And I just got to give my piss poor performance to the producers of Potomac, because you guys had it so good last year. Mm. You guys were so good. After the whole Robin situation and then Mia getting a divorce, y'all did not need an eighth housewife.
Right.
Y'all did not. And now we're inundated with this beef where I honestly think they're family friends. I don't think Wendy and NECA know each other. I think they have kind of a mutual circle where they probably know of each other. But the way they are beating this down the throat, the way that they're trying to make it seem, it's just annoying. And then it's also like nobody is really getting along, and it's too divided to where they're not really friends. You have Giselle not using her words and saying that Chris had her in a bedroom. That's what she said on yesterday's episode. That
she's Chris not speaking had her in the bedroom.
Yes, I
thought it was a dressing room.
Exactly. And words matter. Words matter. She said in her confessional, bedroom. It was not a bedroom. It was a dressing room. And then what Giselle tried, and then Giselle's trying to play victim, like, me and my kids are not safe. No. You're not married to your kids. Your kids gonna be just fine. Candace ain't say shit about your kids. But it's to the point where I just want you to give Karen her own spinoff. But I don't understand why you guys had the tools and everything. I don't know if it was Ashley's idea, but whoever's idea it was to think that we needed a NECA, we don't need her.
One of the three, and probably Ashley. And I'm telling you, I was peeping it on Instagram. She has a lot of pull. The Bravo is real. They really ride with Ashley. You can just go to her Instagram. It doesn't matter what she posts. Bravo is in her comments. And if you go to Wendy or Candace's Instagram, Bravo is absent, even on the post where they tag them to it. And so it kind of just shows clear favoritism. And it's not just Ashley, Robin, and Giselle. Ashley, Robin, and Giselle get a lot of love from the Bravo account on Instagram. And that just kind of stood out to me in a weird way.
They're the worst ones. Robin just lie about Juan and just be so comfortable. And Giselle has literally zero storyline
at all. Why are you here? If this was any other franchise, you would have already gotten demoted and then eventually removed. Jill Zarin, you can go. Like,
not Joe's there, right?
you know what I mean? Like, that's what Giselle is. And it's like they just keep letting her thrive and then have a full-time position at that. But it's like, but she has no storyline. How's she full?
None.
And I'm sorry, they got us. Some people don't deserve to be grandfathered in. I mean, we could take it to Married to Medicine, which is crushing it on Sundays, like with actual good content. But I love Dr. Jackie. I also do love Simone, but I mean, at least Simone is still married and has kids, but her kids are so grown. And I just don't know why they're still full time. I'm not saying to get rid of them because I think they still have a presence that needs to be there, especially as women that are doctors and they're friends with all of the cast. But I just don't think that Contessa should have been fired and Dr. Jackie's still on the show full time. It just doesn't make sense to me.
To your point, I think she's kind of like a Giselle, but at least she's like, I just would prefer if I had to choose somebody who's like a Cynthia. I feel like every cast in reality TV, you need a Cynthia. You need Most somebody definitely. Who's like, I'm here, I'm cute. Giselle, just don't do it for me. I can't.
She's Ashley, not. Don't she do can't it for even me. Be that listening ear or something to try to bring people together, to try to, you know, break. No, she's further widening the divide. She's wide.
And there's a rumor that I just saw online that so Mia's storyline, because you're not gonna watch, she just added like Robin, she had a lawyer who was helping her and Gordon try to figure out their bills with his family's business, and that the lawyer was taking money from them and that he ended up committing suicide. But I heard from a blogger that they're trying to verify that. So she may or may not have just kind of tried to add sugar onto her spicy season. I hope it's not a lie, because that's a really low lie to just like maintain stuff. But just housewives overall, like, I just don't want y'all to keep trying to do so much to have a storyline. Because sometimes a storyline is just living your life. Yeah. Like, being married, going to, like, I'm just really disappointed because I was expecting so much more. But I feel like if NECA was not on this season, it would be better. But now they're pushing this NECA Wendy drama down my throat, and it's stupid and makes zero sense.
Yep.
So that's my piss poor. I'm over it, but I'm still going to watch.
I had to check out for my sanity, for my personal peace of mind, and I don't regret it at all.
Mm.
But all right, let's get into who we're rooting for, who is on our yes. So I'll say first, because I have two, because I think my last one, we both agree. But my first is just going to Johnny Bananas, transitioning Woo! To Johnny Papaya for this last episode of House of Villains. I loved it. Johnny Papaya was everything. Johnny Papaya dressed in drag for Bobby Light's pride party, and it was just so fun to watch. But Johnny Bananas is just hands down one of the greatest reality TV stars in history. That's why.
I really pray he never stops. I really pray he's
75. Like, I need him to be like an old got veteran, like be like 65 years old. Like, yeah, I've been doing this since the year 99. I was on.
I would watch him until he can't talk. Yes. But he's in a wheelchair. I love Johnny Bananas.
Yes.
Love him.
Yes. And then second on my yes is Beyonce. I went to the Renaissance over the weekend. I had to see the movie. For people that are just looking to watch it without all the hype of the Bayhive, I totally suggest going earlier in the day and go to an IMAX theater, because, you know, people in there, we spent a little more for our tickets. So we're trying to have a quality experience. Such a great film. Definitely a bit long, but I get it. Like, when I saw everything, I was just like, yeah, there was like no way she could have really made this shorter, because she needed to fit in, plus the little just personal anecdote and pieces and touches of her story. Great film, great film, great film. I can't believe, because I had to write about it today. So she made like 27 million opening weekend. You know, she is nowhere near what Taylor Swift brought in opening weekend of her film. Like, Taylor Swift still trumps Beyonce when it comes to sales. And granted, I'm not knocking Taylor Swift, right? Because it's like, I get it. But at the same time, I don't get it. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
I mean, like, same. We're just not fit. I don't get it either. Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think she's a great girl. I have no beef. I just don't get the hoopla. It's, the bracelet and the concert. I don't get it. Never
it's,
got
it's
it.
It's not our demo. So, because I know there's
a only like the song she did with Kendrick Lamar because it's Kendrick Lamar.
Which one is that? Is that Bad Blood?
You wanna have bad blood.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
And you used to be men.
No, every time there are some songs that I'll hear and I'm like, oh, I like that. I like some of her early, what's that, White Horse, her friend, or one of her early ones. And I'm lying because I don't even know the names of the songs, but I can
what you think you're asking? Sing one bar that song.
I don't know.
I like that song, White Horse. Sing it.
I don't know the words. I'm lying. Only when I know is Bad Blood.
Oh my.
But I know the one when I hear it, I know it though. When I hear it, I know it. Okay. But whatever. Shout out to Taylor Swift because she's still crushing it. Like she's just making bank. So yeah, who are you rooting for?
Always rooting for Beyonce. That's first movie was amazing. And I think it'll be less people out there, but I'm rooting for Brooke from Basketball Wives LA. I can only imagine the hurt and the pain she's going through after losing her daughter. But the way she has like let it change her, she started a nonprofit to pay for tuition and books and things that women in cosmetology school need in LA. She is not against the drama in Basketball Wives LA, but she's telling people like, you don't want to mess with me because when you go through a loss like that, like I have no chill. But she's still very classy, very beautiful, carries herself well. And I'm just proud of her, like, talking about her grief and being honest about it, about how holidays make her feel and, like, how it's never going to end. And I really hope that anybody that has ever had that type of loss, like, just watches her part of the show because I'm just so enamored by how mature she is, how ahead of her time she is, and just how, like, elegant she's handling this pain because she could be out here beating everybody ass, but right. She's doing something with her time and her money, and she's also being honest, like it's ongoing grief never stops. My daughter would not want me to sit here and be sad, but I also understand that this is a loss that nobody would understand. So Brooke, I'm praying for you, I'm rooting for you, and I'm wishing you luck, girl.
Yeah, rooting for Brooke. I did see the latest episode of Basketball Wives because I wanted to see the fight.
And oh my gosh. This poor goes to Clayana. This is old, but Clayana, yeah, you gotta stop being fed up.
There was no reason for her to jump in her face, but at the same time, Jen was throwing shade.
Yeah, and Jen is a little punk, and that's why
she's a punk. And so it's like, I don't know. It's like, why do you always want to like do stuff like that? And I'm sorry. Every time I see Jen, I always think that her breath stinks because remember that was said. It was said by multiple people on the show, and so I just can't not think that your breath stinks. So it's just like your breath stinks, and you over here just throwing shade on a younger person on the show, like mad played out. You know, you got a new man. You engaged, like you know you're supposed to be getting married. So it's like be happy. And then even seeing, what's her name? Not Erica. Evelyn.
Evelyn. Yeah.
Yeah, like come and snatch up Clayana's wig. Because now, granted, I did see just some clips. So I know that Clayana's just been given unnecessary energy. So she had it coming. But it was just like, Evelyn, like, you're too old. Both of y'all are too old. Like, why are y'all even still on this show, like, doing this? Like, it was just really kind of corny for me to just see that. So... I'm team all of y'all need to grow up.
I'm team Brooke, okay? Brooke,
like,
because she's
and I'm
team Brittany Renner. Why are you on the show? Brittany Renner, her ugly wigs.
Oh my gosh, why is she wearing those wigs? I'm so confused.
Does she know what she looked like? I'm sorry, my puppy is so cranky today. Does she know what she looked like?
I don't know why she's wearing those wigs. Like, she has nice natural hair. Like, you could at least just add some extensions, like, or do like updos. Like, I mean, it's all about having a hairstylist. There's so many ways you could do your hair. Why are you wearing horrible ass wigs?
And it's giving synthetic. It's really giving synthetic.
Yeah, no, they're giving like the most horrible, cheap ass wigs. And I just don't understand. I'm like, why is she wearing those wigs? So I did check it out, but I did like seeing Brooke with her little boo thing. I hope they figure it out and get more official because it's like he's her ex. But it's like, come on, y'all, stop playing.
Yeah, I feel like once she lost her daughter, he was like, you know what, let me be here for you. But I do think she said he was cheating. So hopefully this will bring them together. That's why she like left him in the first place. So
So you know what? I wonder if that's the same ex. Cause yeah, I used to hear some things back in the day that I don't know if it's him or somebody else she used to date that was cheating. And it's like kind of like if I tell you that your spouse is cheating on you and then all of a sudden you get mad at me type thing. Like that's kind of was like, yeah. But still rooting for Brooke and just her healing process because it's beautiful. Yeah. And so on that, let's get into some positivity.
What you got? All right, y'all. Inspiration comes from within yourself. One has to be positive. When you're positive, good things happen. From Mr. Deep Roy.
Ooh, Deep Roy. Okay.
I'm like, is that a real name? Yes, it is.
Okay. Mine is be so completely yourself that everyone else feels safe to be themselves too. All right. And on that note, our closing slogan is
love, abundance, and real hair bundles, not from where Brittany Renner get her wigs from. Let's do better, y'all. Because those wigs is bad, girl. You need to call your people. Okay. Yes.
And the non-tangly ones, because this new weave I got in, it's tangly. And I'm like, I'm mad, but I did pay a cheaper price. So just go ahead and do the right thing and spend quality.
Not just say I paid a cheaper price. I need to cope.
Yeah, so just pay the quality price so you can get a quality weave. All right, so love, abundance, and silky hair bundles.
Okay, quality.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Have a good one.